In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God.
After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, where he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Jesus needed to pray and seek the Father's face. If Jesus needs to pray, what about you and what about me? To seek the face of God. You know, we're always looking at his hands, that he give us this and give us that. Let's seek the face of God. It's very important. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves. And you know why this happened? The Lake Galilee is between the mountains, cold air, and the desert. And when the two winds meet, there are always calamity on the lake. During the fourth watch, Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. This is Jesus. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." That's what Jesus says to you today. "I am with you. Do not be afraid." There is nothing to fear today. There is now no condemnation for Christ, those that are in Christ Jesus. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Oh, fears come in people's lives. I've ministered to people, and I remember this woman who had all these fears, and I was ministering to her. Before I became a priest, I was ministering to her, and I was calling out the demons of fear, and she started spitting up, and she said, "What's happening?" I said, "Jesus is sweeping out your house." That's all I said to her. She didn't need to know everything. But you see, fear is useless. Fear is useless. What are you afraid of today? Fear is useless. We need to trust Jesus. We need to trust Jesus. We need to trust Jesus. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come, Peter." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught Peter, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I'm telling you, Peter is the only one that got out of the boat. The rest of them are inside the boat. Peter got out of the boat. He had that much faith to get out of the boat. Okay, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. But Peter got out of the boat. I wonder how we get out of the boat. Do we do things that are uncomfortable for us, like praying with people? That's getting out of the boat. Calling someone on the phone and listening to them and have them pour out their soul to you. That's getting out of the boat. How many of us get out of the boat? We are very comfortable, you know. We say, "Well, you know, that's the job of the priest, or that's the job of the bishop, or that's the job of the brother." No, it's our job. It's your job to get out of the boat and to do what the Lord calls called you to do. And it's very, very difficult at the beginning. You know how I started to pray over people? I used to use the phone. They didn't know how scared I was, but I started to pray over the phone for people. I still do that. I still pray over the phone for people. But I'm not afraid anymore. I just know that God hears and answers prayer. Do you know that today? That God hears and answers prayer. Do you know that Jesus went up the mountain to pray and he needed to seek the face of the Father? So do you and so do I. And do you know that Jesus was walking on the water? You know what that means? It means, the water means chaos. They believed that there was big animals underneath the sea. And Jesus is the Lord over chaos. He's the Lord over your chaos. Are you in chaos today? Are you in chaos today? Jesus is the Lord of chaos, over chaos. Jesus is the Lord over chaos. Your chaos, my chaos. Jesus says, do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Nothing shall come about to hurt you. I promise you that, Jesus says. You don't need to be scared anymore. You don't need to be fearful anymore. Jesus comes to save us, and he saves us as we walk upon the water, as we do things that are more difficult for us to do. You know, there's some things I haven't done. I've never prayed over a person who died, praying that they would wake up. I haven't done that yet. I haven't done that yet. Maybe someday I will do that by the grace of the living God. I do remember, though, many years ago, I got a call at Sacred Heart in North Quincy that someone had taken an overdose of aspirins, and I remember going to the emergency room where she was, and her mother and father were there, and I'll never forget it. I was praying in the spirit, and the mother and father prayed out loud, we let her go, we give her to you, and immediately she came back. When the parents let the child go, immediately she came back, out of the coma, out of whatever she was in. The Lord reversed it. What the doctors were saying, they were shaking their head before and saying, no, she's not going to make it. But when the mother and father said to the Lord, I give her to you, you gave her to us, I give her back, immediately things begin to happen with her and in her. Do you hear Jesus say to you, come, Mary, come, Paul, come, Pat, come and do what you're afraid to do. Do what you're afraid to do, because I am here with you. I am here for you, and I am here in you. Do you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that he is in you today? Not only is he around you, but he is in you today. Do you know that? I know that, and I'm so glad, because I wouldn't be able to do anything without him. The only thing I could do without him is to make mistakes. But you see, he gives me help. He gives me help. Thanks be to God. He is our helper. He is our stronghold. He is our Lord. And he loves us. And he loves you. And he loves me. Walk upon the water. Do what you're afraid to do. Come, says the Lord. I will take you by the hand, and I will let you know that everything is going to be all right. And you hear the wind blowing, you become frightened. The Lord says, don't worry, take me by the hand, and I will lead you to where you need to go, because I am God, and I love you. I am God, and I care for you. I am God, and I have plans for you. The scripture says, I know I have the plans for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me with all your heart, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? That the Lord says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. I know that. That's what the Bible says, and I happen to believe the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. Do you believe what God is saying to you? Do you believe it, or is it just words in a book? No, it's time for us to have faith, faith the size of a mustard seed, faith the size of a mustard seed. I'm reading from Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. I speak the truth in Christ, St. Paul says. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I might have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. I wonder what this sorrow is coming from. For I could wish that by myself were accursed and cut off from the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. You know what he's saying? I would go to hell if it meant that my people, the Jewish people, would come to give their lives to Jesus. I would venture going to hell if it meant the Jewish people come to be saved. I'm just so grateful that I know Jewish people listen to me. I'm so grateful because I know that people hear about Jesus, Yeshua, his name in Hebrew, that people come and listen, that Jesus comes to them. I remember being in a seminary with somebody. I wasn't a student, I was a priest, and I was visiting somebody. And when I was visiting Dan, he's now Father Dan, when I was visiting him, there was a young man with him who was a Jewish convert who came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and he was in the seminary. And the Lord said to me, give him that cross. I said, Lord, I don't want to give it to him. This cross has been giving me peace. The Lord says, give him that cross. I said, Lord, I don't want to give it to him. The Lord said, if you give him that cross, I will increase your ministry of ministering to Jewish people. Immediately, I took the cross off and gave it to him. Oh, yes. He says, I can't take it. I said, you need to take it. The Lord told me to give it to you. Oh, yes. God told me to give it to you. And the great thing is that the Lord promised that I would have a great ministry with Jewish people. You know, somehow in my line of genes, if you go back enough, I bet our family was Jewish at one time. God has given me a love for the Jewish people. Oh, how I love Jerusalem. How I wish I could go back to Jerusalem and just stay there and walk the walk and talk the talk and preach the preach. But you see, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that anymore. So what can I do? I can speak to you. St. Paul says, my heart is in anguish, for I would wish that myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites. Theirs is the adoption. Theirs is the glory. Theirs is the covenant. Theirs is the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them, according to the flesh, is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Do you know how Paul said he was going to get the Jewish people to believe in the Lord Jesus? He said he was going to make them jealous by what God had done in him and that he'd given him power to heal the sick. Do you know that I wonder if people look at us and say, I want what you have, that there's a holy jealousy. I wonder how many people look at us and say, I want what you have. Because you are explaining and you are radiating the person of Jesus Christ. I want what you have. You know, I was with my aunt many years ago, and a friend of mine returned my Bible to my aunt's house. And my aunt said, I want what you have. And we prayed with her, and she got what we had. She got the Holy Spirit. She got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She got wonderful experience. I want what you have. And you know how many people really can look at us and say, I want what you have. It's so important that people find in us the action of God, that they would want what we have. And they would say, it's a holy jealousy. I want what you have. Paul said the way he was going to get the Jewish people to believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were going to get jealous of what Paul had. And you know what? It didn't happen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But still, it's like that. Still, it's like that. I have with me Father Matthew, and I'm going to ask him to talk about walking on the water and what he said yesterday to the people.
Thank you, Father Tom. Well, interesting, Father, I've been on vacation for the past week, which has been wonderful. So, but we were up bright and early as we were making our way from Vermont down to Maine, and so we broke open the scriptures with the Verrett family. So three young children, and recounting the story of what Jesus did in walking on the water. But it's been kind of like a thematic preaching that I've been doing with them the past few days. So it's been children's homilies, Father, but helping them to understand, when we look at the cross, what is Jesus saying to us, right? And it's from the cross that Jesus is saying, I love you, right? From the cross, he's saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. Every time we look at the cross, Jesus is saying, I love you. And he's always inviting us to a deeper embrace of that love, to receive that love. He's inviting us to be his disciples. He's calling us to be saints. It was kind of funny. Zaylee, who's only 7, I asked her what a saint was. And she said that a saint is someone who believes in Jesus. And it's a direct quote, someone who lives a holy and gracious life. Imagine that out of a 7-year-old, someone who lives a holy and gracious life. I was completely blown away by that. And so we're all called to be saints, obviously. And a saint is someone, first and foremost, who has received, just like Mary at the foot of the cross and Mary of Bethany, who sat at the feet of Jesus, right, in the house of Lazarus and Martha, right? She sits at the feet. So a disciple is someone, first and foremost, who sits at the feet of Jesus, who is at the foot of the cross receiving the love of Jesus. One of the greatest definitions of prayer that I've heard from Father Gallagher, he said, prayer is letting God love you the way he wants to love you. So the first action in discipleship always begins with receiving the love that comes from the cross of Jesus. And so that was like the first thing in a simplified way to proclaim to the kids that we're called to receive, that God says, I love you from the cross. And to be his disciples now is to carry our crosses. And first and foremost, that means to carry love into the world, to be love, to love others as we have been loved. And then from there, that love is made manifest and made present in the Eucharist, right? So every time, that's why Mass is the most important thing that we do in our day, in our week, right? Because it's the greatest prayer. It's the prayer that saved the world. It's the prayer that Jesus offered on the cross for our salvation. And so Mass is so important to keep that as like the big rock in our week, right, in our daily lives, right, to come and worship Jesus, the Father, in, with, and through Jesus Christ, right, at the Holy Mass. And in this, in the sacrifice of the Mass, what's made present is, what's represented is this love that Jesus says to us, proclaims to us, embodies for us on the cross, right? Every Mass represents the love of Jesus Christ. It makes present the love of the cross of Calvary, and we receive it, and we are sanctified by it, we are perfected by it, we are healed by it, and we go forth. And then we're on to the gospel, right? And so the apostles are, you know, they're, first of all, they're frightened because they think Jesus is a ghost as he's walking by, right? They're frightened. They think he's a ghost. But as he walks by, they say, well, the Lord identifies himself, and he says, okay, well, they say, well, if that's you, command me to come out. And the young people, they got this. They said, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, they knew everything was going to be okay. But the moment they took their eyes off of Jesus, then they started to sink, right? Then they started to sink. But, like, this whole beautiful reality of the Lord walking on the water, he's teaching us, he's teaching the apostles something really important, that he has mastery over creation. He has mastery over nature, right? That he is God. We're subjected to the laws of nature. None of us has power over the laws of nature. We're subjected to the laws of nature. But the God who created nature, right, who created nature, who created reality as it is, right, he's not subjected to those laws. So if he wanted to defy those laws, he certainly can. And obviously in this passage, and walking on the water, he manifests his divinity. He walks on the water. He defies the law of gravity. He defies the laws of nature. He proves to us in a very powerful, concrete way that he is God. So if he can walk on water, and he can make the blind see, and the deaf hear, and he can raise the dead, if he has power over nature, why wouldn't he have power over the bread to say, this is my body, and the wine to say, this is my blood? If he has power to walk on water, of course God, who is not subjected to the laws of nature, could say to bread, you become me, and it becomes him, and wine, you are to be me, my precious blood, and it becomes him. And so this just gives us another beautiful teaching into the reality that the Lord, when he comes to us in the Mass, as he said, do this in memory of me, as it comes down from the generations and through apostolic succession, that God's love is made to us not in just merely a symbolic way, not just merely in a sign way, but substantially. Jesus Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the true presence of the Eucharist. And I would argue this is the joy. This is the source from which all joy flows from, right? It's this encounter with Christ and abiding him in him, through him and with him in the power of the Eucharist. And this is what makes our faith attractive. This is what makes marriages continue on to be a blessing in our churches and our family lives, because we make the cross the center of our lives, which is Jesus, and we make the Eucharist the center of our lives. So I caught the end of your words here, Father, when you're saying about the attractiveness of Christianity, the attractiveness of faith, and the attractiveness always comes from being united with Jesus, his cross, and the Eucharist.
Again, I'm asking you, do people see in you someone that they want to follow? Do people see in you someone that they want to follow? What kind of life are you living? And you know, it doesn't have to be a life of big things. We see in the first reading, Elijah experienced God in the small whisper of the wind. I did have a big thing happen. I want to share it with you. I have shared it with you. But yesterday, my friend came from Rome, and she wanted me to pray for a couple of things. Her name is Helen, and I prayed with her. And we had prayed for her daughter's friend, who is Jewish, who had cancer. And after we prayed, the cancer was healed. The doctors didn't know how it happened, but Helen knows how it happened. Jesus touched this Jewish woman and healed her of this cancer. That's a big thing. But you know what? Things aren't always big. Sometimes they're very small, and God does things. And for us to notice that God does things is a gift. It's a gift to notice that God is working in the small things. And because most of our life has to do with small things. Most of our life, yes, we see miracles. We believe in miracles. We know about miracles. We've seen them happen. But most of our life has to do with small things. You know, just getting up, going to work, cooking for the family. You're cooking for God's children. You're going to work for God's children. You see, we forget those things. We think that, you know, it's just a day, another day, it's a drab day, and I don't have any ability to change anybody. But if you just would think that what you are doing is for the Lord and for your family who belong to Christ, things would change. They're little things, but things would change. My father would get up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work because he loved us. Because he loved us. I didn't even realize this until after he was gone. That he woke up so early in the morning. Why? Because he loved us.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, she said, let it be done unto me according to your word. Do you say that to Jesus today? Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin and dwelt among us and pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Go to inseason.net and that will bring you to PayPal. Or write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128.
So I want to conclude by saying, here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. He'll lift you up and he'll help you to stand. Here comes Jesus. He's the master of the waves that roll. Here comes Jesus. He'll make you whole. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.